Well, good afternoon, everybody. Amen. Amen. What an honor, what a privilege it is to be with you and for Brother Copeland to ask me to do this afternoon service. And he gave me a specific assignment for you. But it's a little bit different. This being a partner meeting, partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, there's some things I'm going to share with you that are not necessarily normally shared during a time like, but this is important because you are investors, you are stockholders, you are shareholders, you are rich. Glory to God, because this is increase day. Can you give God praise for that? Increase day. Father, we just thank you and honor you for this time together. We thank you for the living, breathing Word of God that changes and completely transforms our lives. And we receive today the transformation. Just in this hour or so that we spend together, Father, I thank you that there's going to be a renewing of our minds and a transformation of our thinking. That we are going up to a higher realm, a higher place with you. Especially in the realm of your provision. Father, we honor you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And what we're going to be talking about in this session today is calling in your harvest. Releasing your faith for your harvest. And what I'm going to do is that so many of you have been such faithful partners financially with this ministry, that at the end of this session today, you and I are going to make a declaration of faith and we are going to call in the harvest. We're calling in the harvest together. And that is a revelation that not too many people are aware of. They sow seed, but they don't realize the responsibility that they have in calling in that harvest. And that's what we've been doing at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I believe I shared this morning a little bit. My life has been transformed I'll back up a little bit. The 41 years that I've been here, of course, my life has been transformed with Brother and Sister Copeland. I've done so many different things in the ministry. I came here, came to the ministry, started the in-house art department. There were 12 people on staff at the time, 12. And so that was going to be my summer job. And then I was going back to Oral Roberts University. And this has been the longest summer job that I've ever had in my entire life. 41 years and counting in this particular summer job that I've been doing. But so many different things. And I was the executive director from 1988 until 1995. But in 1993, I became the pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church and still pastoring. But in January, the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, bring the church and the ministry together under one leadership. And that's the leadership of Pastor George. And so that was an amazing thing that took place. I wasn't particularly looking for that job. But, I'm here to serve whatever you need me to do. And so when I received that position, the Lord began talking to me about some things and began showing me some things about the ministry. And one of the things that he talked to me about was he talked to me about getting aggressive about harvesting. Teaching the staff, which as a matter of fact, I'm in the middle of a series right now. We do one thing that he told me when I started this position. He said, you have chapels once a week with the staff to continue to build their faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we have these special times together where I come in and I teach, others come in and teach the word of God and just lift them up, lift all of us up to where Brother and Sister Copeland are so that we are able to take hold of the vision that God has given to them, that we can take that vision, write it and run with it. That whenever Brother Copeland comes in, and it really takes a development of faith when you're serving somebody like that, when you're serving an individual like Brother Copeland, You need to be ready and prepared at any moment and any time for any kind of instruction to come in, because the Lord talks to him a lot about vision. Yes, we're 50 years old, but I just have this sense that it's like we're starting in the next phase of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We're not drawing down, we're going forward. We're not pulling back, we're moving on to what God has for us. And there is an aggressiveness that the Lord told me. He says, you've got to get aggressive about calling in the harvest and get out of this shortage mentality, barely having it, barely getting by, And I began to look at all of the vision that we had. And as a matter of fact, I carry this with me. This is a vision sheet. And these are some of the highlights of the vision we have. And let me just share a little bit of this with you. The Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, get your house in order. So we're doing that in every possible way. Get your house in order. You ought to take that as a word for yourself. That was the word from Brother Copeland for us. But you should take that as a word for yourself to get our house in order. Then there is the revival capital of the world. Some of you don't know what the vision is of the revival capital of the world. In 1970, Brother Copeland was flying home from a meeting, and he heard over his radio a voice. And this voice said, coming to you from the revival capital of the world. And Brother Copeland thought to himself, there is an entertainment capital of the world, and that's Hollywood. There's a political capital of the world, and that's Washington. Where is the revival capital of the world? 3 years later. See, he didn't hear a word until 3 years later. And 3 years later, a friend of his brought him out to Eagle Mountain Lake to a choice piece of property out there. It was an abandoned airbase from World War II. And Brother Copeland got out of the car, and the other day I was talking to him and I said, where was that exactly on the property? And he told me. He showed me the spot where that was. He got out of the car. This is 1973. They stepped over a fence, a barbed wire fence. And he said, the moment he stepped onto the property, the Lord spoke to him and said, this is the revival capital of the world and you are going to build it. And he told the Lord at that moment, he accepted that mandate that the Lord gave him. And the Lord said to him, you build it and they will come. You build it and they will come. Well, I came along in 1976. Terry and I met at ORU in 1975. And I came along to the ministry in 1976 as this summer job. And I was over the art department, and it was in 1979 that Brother Copeland sat down with me and gave me the entire vision for the revival capital of the world. And I took all of that, and I wrote the copy for it, and I had the illustrations produced for it, and we produced a brochure, which I actually have a copy of it back in my hotel room here. Copy of that brochure, which this is an interesting thing, copy of that brochure that had all of the vision in it. And he took that brochure to a meeting with him the next time they had a meeting. He presented it, and that was the last time it was discussed. It wasn't mentioned from that point on. And we went through the 1980s. And we went through the 1990s. And there was a particular man at a church down the street, a Baptist church, that had a word for Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and that word was very much like the revival capital of the world. He saw thousands of people coming to that property. And I still have that letter that he gave to us, and he just kept pressing into it and pressing into it and pressing into it. So none of us, we were all working diligently. We were going on daily television, weekly television, believing God for the things that we were doing. And the revival capital of the world was really never discussed much. And over the last few years, see, I kept that brochure with me. Every office that we've been in, every office that we traveled to, I would keep that brochure with me. And I would keep that vision before me. But you know, sometimes there are times when you think to yourself, that vision is never going to happen. You get a prophecy, you get a word from somebody about something, and you think, that's never going to happen. And I got to that place. But that man, that pastor, who is the pastor of this Baptist church, who also, this is where our kids went to school. They had a school there as well. And every time I would go to school, whether it was Jeremy or Aubrey, and I would go there for a concert, I would go there for a basketball game, or I'd go there for something, Jesse McElreath, this pastor, would walk up to me and said, there's a move of God coming to that property out there. And he'd say it again and again. And I wanted to tell him, shut up one day. I don't want to hear anything about it. But long about 2013 at Eagle Mountain International Church, there was, as we got into 2014, there was a move of God that broke out. And that move of God has really not stopped. It's just continued to escalate and escalate. And one Sunday morning, I got out there and I was preaching, and all of a sudden, I said the revival capital of the world word. I was looking at Terry on the front row. Her jaw dropped. She was like, and after church, when we were coming home after church, she said, did you know what you said? I said, yeah, I knew what I said. I said, revival capital of the world. She said, even daddy's not talking about the revival capital of the world. Well, daddy and the rest of us are talking about the revival capital of the world. And I'll tell you something interesting about all of this. We had a board meeting this week. It was the second board meeting of this year. Unprecedented. We always have one board meeting a year. And after the last board meeting we had in April, Brother Copeland said to me, I want another board meeting. Things are moving so fast. Things are moving so quickly. The acceleration rate of Kenneth Copeland Ministries is such to a point where we had to have the board come back in and talk to them about all of these things just to keep them up with everything that's going on around there. And that the board meetings used to last over the, because I've been in those board meetings for years, ever since I became executive director the first time, 1988. And those board meetings would last from maybe 9 in the morning until 2, 3 in the afternoon. These are going from 9 in the morning until 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. So we're presenting all of these things just a couple of days ago, presenting all of these things to the board. And the last thing that we did was we had these two gentlemen come in that Terry and I, we've been working with them this year. And we had them come in because we're designing a master plan for the property. Or as Brother Copeland calls it, the master's plan for the property. And we looked at different master planning companies, and this was the one they chose. But listen to this. This is how far God wants to take us in all of this. This master planning company has 55,000 employees in it. They're located all over the world, but their headquarters is in Dallas. And the two gentlemen that are working on our project, both of them are born again believers and are excited about this project. And they came in and they made their presentation, and oh, this company and these two gentlemen in particular are also involved in a project in New York. They are in charge of completely redesigning LaGuardia Airport. That's the extent to where we're going with all of this, because God has things for us to do. He's got things for you to do, things for us to accomplish. And we are seeing the property out there at Eagle Mountain as a destination location where people are going to be coming from all over the world to the various things that we're going to have there that are taking place. If any of you watched the Billy Burke meeting that we had on the network, that was the first time that we've ever had a meeting at Eagle Mountain where we had multiple overflow rooms. Multiple overflow rooms. We are in the planning stages right now of the 10,000 seat facility at Eagle Mountain. Our vision, all that to say that our vision is being lifted up. Our vision is going to another level. Terry and I, we were watching the other day, and we've been watching this over a week-long period because We DVR'd this on our TV, so we'll sit and we'll watch it as we eat dinner sometime. But we taped this PBS special on Walt Disney, the life of Walt Disney. So we're going along and we're watching it, and watching the different phases and animation and all of that. And then it gets to Disneyland. It gets to Disneyland. He starts talking about Disneyland, and the anointing comes all over me. It comes all over me. And it starts showing him doing the design for Disneyland and the huge, I mean, this, in this documentary, he had to download the vision that was on the inside. So he hired an artist to come in, and he spent 46 hours with him downloading the vision. And then it starts to show, and that's why it's so significant for me to be here today, because just right nearby us, it shows Disney walking through these orange fields and walking out the land of Disneyland and having a vision for it, not giving up on the vision that he had. And I sat there and I'm watching this thing and I'm saying, I got to show that to our executive team. I got to show that to Brother Copeland. It's a parallel to what God is wanting us to do, except it's not entertainment. It's the supernatural. It's the supernatural. But you can see why, you can see why the Lord spoke to me in January and said, you've got to get aggressive about reaping your harvest. Because there is no time for us to drag along with this thing and to spend another 10, 20, or 30 years doing that, because we have not only, as I shared with you at the offering today, the Lord is saying to us, it's no longer one project at a time. It's multiple projects at the same time. And let me just read this to you. He said, get your house in order. The revival capital of the world. The Lord spoke to Brother Copeland in 1975. He said, get this uncompromised word of faith on every available voice from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. And even that vision got put aside for a while. And the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, I'll tell you why you don't have your million partners, because you let go of the assignment of every available voice. Well, you better believe that we are all up on the of every available voice mandate that God has given to this ministry. And we're believing for every available voice, and you stand in agreement with us. Our next voice, we are going to go on DirecTV in Jesus' name. We're going to do it. There will be on DirecTV a 24-hour Word of Faith network. So you can see how important it is for us to be calling in the harvest, reaping the harvest. Here's a few other things. We're believing for a million partners, million active worldwide partners. We're believing for $1 million a day in the United States, 10 million souls. Brother Copeland said, we are soul brokers. We are soul brokers. You know what a soul broker is? You know what an investment broker is? They take money and they invest it in the best place that they think it should go. So we take a portion of the finances that come into Kenneth Copeland Ministries and we send it out then to people like Reinhard Bonnke and others. We are soul brokers. Soul brokers. He's believing for an increase in the healing and miracle anointing. And at the time when I put this down here, we were still believing God for the Gulfstream 5. Got it. See, you need to be partakers of the grace that I'm pouring out on you right now. And what are we doing? We're paying cash. We are paying cash for that Gulfstream. And such a cool thing about it is it's Tyler Perry's Gulfstream. We've had such a great time with Medea over that. That's really amazing. But look, that's an open door. That's been an open door. And you need to be believing with us now for all of the equipment that goes with it. We've got to build another hangar. There's some avionics that need to be done. There's an interior that needs to be redone. But what are we doing? Call in the harvest! Call in the harvest! Brother Copeland, at the beginning of the year when Terry and I started as CEOs, he said, bring me a global plan. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And now we're all over the world. We are planning things all over the world. Latin America. In May, the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland. We're sitting there at the house having a meeting with him. And all of a sudden, he looks down, he grabs his chest like this, and we can tell, man, something's coming. So I pull out my phone. My phone is full. It is full of recordings of meetings like this with Brother Copeland, because I want to go back and listen to what he says. And he says, we've got to get more aggressive. This is the Lord speaking. We've got to get more aggressive about reaching the United States. We've got to get more aggressive about reaching Canada. We've got to get more aggressive about reaching the continent of Africa. We must get more aggressive about Latin America and the Spanish outreach. And we have to get more aggressive about reaching the islands of the world. So already now, next year, plan is the Guadalcanal meeting. We're doing a meeting, and then Jesse wants to go, and Jerry wants to go. You look at a massive vision like this, and people say, how? And the answer is who? You know, how is one man like Brother Copeland going to do this? Where we are looking up and down the dial for every Spanish broadcast we can get on. We have resurrected and renewed our Spanish outreach. Starting in September, I didn't realize this until I stepped into the job. We're on Enlace television, but we've been doing reruns for years. And so starting in a week, the weekly Spanish broadcast is going to have all new broadcasts, and they will be new broadcasts from here on out. We are expanding. Say expanding.
Expanding.
Enlarging.
Enlarging.
See, that's God's will. His will for you is to increase. His will for you is to increase. Why am I saying all this? Because I was supposed to start on this. I'm telling you all this because you are partakers of our grace. And the grace that's on us right now is so huge. It's so big. And nobody in the place out there is complaining about the vision that we have. Everybody is on board with it, and everybody's on board with their faith. So you get on board with your faith with it. He said, here's another one. The Lord spoke to us. Kenneth Copeland Bible College starts in a year. Kenneth Copeland Bible College begins in a year. The Lord talked to us about that, ministered to us about that. We're getting ready for it right now. We're getting prepared for those of you who are going to be attending the Kenneth Copeland Bible College. The infrastructure, fixing everything in the infrastructure, Spanish outreach, prison outreach, military outreach. We are a clearinghouse outreach. There's money that comes to us. It goes right back out. And even tonight, we'll talk to you a little bit about the disaster relief outreach. It is multiplying even right now. It is multiplying right now. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so these are just some of the things that, and the purpose that I'm reading this to you is because the last time I was the executive director, it nearly ate my lunch. 1989, 1990, and 1989, we went on daily television. And Brother Copeland said, get on every available station. So we did that. We did that. I just stepped into that position the year before. And I was sitting at my desk one day in my office. It was late at night. It was like early October. And I was working late that night, and I had my calculator out, and I was looking at different things, and I figured out that we were headed towards a $6 million deficit because we went on so fast that the bills began to pile up. And so I brought that to Kenneth and Gloria, and as we were going through that October, November, December of that year, that was probably one of the roughest, hardest times that I'd ever had at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. There's a road that goes out right by the church, and it goes right out to the street. And I can't tell you how many times I would drive out that road on a Friday and say, I'm never coming back. I remember standing one time, there's a balcony out over Kenneth and Gloria's office area, and I was out there one day, and it was probably the end of November, and we were pushing $6 million behind, 3 months behind on television bills. Then on top of that, the accounts payables were behind. And you know, I knew to walk in faith, but my flesh was really fighting me. I was awake at night. It had taken hold of my thinking. And I was walking around that big balcony out there, and I got mad at the Lord, and I stomped my foot. I said, how come we have to have all this property? And I think I heard him laugh. Anyway. But the Lord just really got a hold of me and said, you've got to get on top of your faith about this thing. So what I did was I instructed the staff that we were going to gather every day in December. We were going to gather every day, and we were going to use our faith, and we were going to call in harvest, and we are going to praise God. We're going to do what we've been taught to do. And I had the people in the accounting department, from a natural standpoint, they figured up how long it would take for us to get back on track. And they told us it would be 18 months to 2 years before we were back on the financial track that we needed to be. Well, there was an acceleration that kicked in. And it kicked in when we crossed over into January. My parents, both of my parents are in heaven, but they lived in Massachusetts. I grew up in Massachusetts. And so we would always go to Massachusetts. I'd take the kids and Terry, and we'd all go to Massachusetts and spend Christmas with my parents. I remember going to Massachusetts in that December, and I was thinking to myself, it was snowing, it was so pretty, it was so peaceful, and the thought ran across my mind, I'm not going back to Texas. But I couldn't do that, I couldn't do that. Use my faith, believe God. Well, the thing that happened was that when we got back in January, there was something so supernatural that took place. Remember, we weren't going to recover from the natural 18 months to 2 years that this would take. It started in January. And by the time we reached we reached the 1st of May, all of the accounts payable were paid in full. All the accounts payable, not the TV, but the accounts payable. And we hit a supernatural stride. And so we continued to believe God, we continued to praise God, and it was on July the 10th at 9 o'clock in the morning, Gloria's sister Jan, who is over the accounting department, she still is, she walked into my office with a check, and she said, George, this is the last payment of the television bill, July of that year. Give God praise for that. Give God praise for that. So as I stepped into this position again in January, I had to make some kind of a quality decision that I would never do that again. Never do that again. But on the contrary, and you know, there's something about a 20 or 30 year difference in your life. You've grown, you've developed to be able to go back and do the same kind of thing again, except not take the care, not take the worry. I sleep like a baby at night. I have to because I'm putting so many hours in at work. But anyway... Not complaining. It's the most exciting time we've ever had. But we are in a place right now, the faith of the staff is at an all-time high. We are on board 100%, and we are calling in the finances, and we are year to date, 7% higher than last year. 7% higher than last year. I was checking the figures where the church is concerned. We were comparing year to date where the church was concerned, 22% higher this year than last year, 22%. So you agree with me, I'm believing for the whole thing to be 25, 30, 40, 50% higher than last year. We are leaping up into places of faith that we've never been. And so are you, so are you, so are you. The major key to this is exercising your faith to call in the harvest. So many people get discouraged, as we did, because we're sowers. Now, I'll tell you one thing that didn't happen during the time we went through that deficit. We never stopped tithing. Never stopped tithing. Could have used that 10% in so many different areas, but we never stopped tithing. And of course, I'm talking about what happened from the staff side and my side. And of course, Kenneth and Gloria were using their faith. They were believing God. We were believing God with them. But we never stopped tithing. And the revelation of calling in the harvest, that actually began at a meeting that we had back in the late 90s called 30 Days of Glory. 30 Days of Glory. We had 30 days of meetings out at Eagle Mountain. Gloria had come to me earlier that year and she said, George, what do you think it would be like if we had meetings every day for a month? I said, I don't know. Let's try. And so it was September of 1998 when we called it 30 Days of Glory. And we had meetings, a meeting in the morning, a meeting in the evening. And the only morning that we would take off is Saturday morning because you had to do your laundry sometime. But we did meetings. I was there for every one of those meetings. Leroy Thompson was there for a lot of it. Oh, man. We are still living off of the teaching that Leroy gave us about prosperity during that meeting. But it was one of those days that Brother Keith Moore came in, and he was getting ready to speak, and he was standing there, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came on him, and he gave a word to the church. Listen to this. Brother Keith said this. The Lord said this to Brother Keith. He said, God's heart is grieved. It is bothering him that we are not reaping. Some are disillusioned and aggravated with God. How much more can I give? They ask. You think you're waiting on God. You think reaping is automatic. You think once you put the money in, it's all up to him. You just sit back and relax and think it's all going to just come to you. That's ignorance and confusion. Wow. Now you can imagine I'm sitting on the platform and I'm trying to put on my face. You may understand what a face is. I'm sitting there going, When on the inside I was going, He said, I challenge you to hear the word of the Lord. Make up your mind and say, I'm not just a good giver. I'm a good reaper. I'm going to get real good at reaping. So I think we need to do that right now. I think we need to make up our minds. All of us in here, we need to make up our minds and say this after me. I'm not just a good giver. I'm a good reaper. I'm going to get real good at reaping. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the scripture here in Proverbs 10:5 bears that out. It says, he that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. The New Living Translation of that says, a wise youth harvests in the summer, but one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. You can imagine how ridiculous it would be for a farmer to do all of the work that he does to get those seeds sown into the ground, and then when it's harvest time, just to sit on the porch in his rocking chair and look out at the harvest and see it rot. That's ridiculous. That's a disgrace. It's a shame. Well, it's a shame to leave your harvest out in the field. Now, the difference is between a natural harvest and a spiritual harvest is the spiritual harvest will not rot. It's out there. It's out there. And there are some of you that have families that have sown and they've never reaped. You will reap where you have not sown. There's a lot of seed. There's a lot of harvest sitting out there that we need to be calling in. And I wrote this down. Reaping has been the missing link to our increase. It's the missing link to our increase. So when I heard that from Brother Keith, immediately we received that correction. And we made that quality decision that we were going to get really good at reaping our harvest. So what I did was I diligently studied Brother Keith's teaching on rules of reaping. Rules of reaping. It is on his website. It's absolutely free. I would highly recommend that you listen to Keith Moore's series on rules of reaping. And I go back and listen to it often. I stir myself up in it. Because as the executive director of this ministry, I'm having to use my faith. It's a pleasure to use my faith. Because I'm not going to make the same mistake that I made before. I'm not going to fall into a trap where I'm not using my faith. I'm going to get aggressive. I'm bold about it. And we as a staff are calling that in. And I want you as partners to help us reap the harvest. Anytime you think about it, you help us reap that harvest. You call that harvest. I'm calling in Brother Copeland's harvest in the name of Jesus. And you get on board with us because the Lord told me, he said, I want you to get the staff to get aggressive about it, the church to get aggressive about it, and the partners to get aggressive about it. And I want you to get aggressive about getting your own harvest in. So I started the series on rules of reaping. I did a 3-day seminar at the church just teaching about it. We began to exercise our faith for that harvest. And Brother Copeland said this, if you haven't thought of yourself as a harvester before now, start thinking of yourself that way. Renew your mind to the truth of God's word. Dare to believe the Lord of the harvest is calling you to help him bring in his end time crops. He's speaking to you and saying, until now, you've known me as the Lord over your seed. You've known me as your bread provider. But I want you to know me now as the Lord and the minister of the harvest. And I'll read this to you. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he gave me something, a copy of a letter that Oral Roberts wrote to him. Handwritten letter of what Oral Roberts wrote to him. And this man, back in 2006, had sown a seed into Oral Roberts' life. And in the context of the letter, Brother Roberts was sharing with him, thank you for sending the seed. But he said, now I want to share a revelation with you. And this is the revelation that Brother Roberts shared with him. He said, once you sow your seed, immediately switch your mind from the Lord of the seed, who is Jesus, to the Lord of the harvest, who is Jesus, other name. You immediately switch your mind. There is a harvest in every seed. There's a harvest in the seed that you just sowed a few minutes ago. And you need to become harvest-minded where that is concerned. Terry was teaching along this line, and the Lord gave her a word. He said to her, the harvest of your seed will swallow up your need. Wow. The harvest of your seed will swallow up your need. And then he changed it and he said that the harvest of your seed has swallowed up your need. So you become harvest minded. Harvest minded. I was looking at some pictures the other day, and it was a picture of this massive wheat field. And there were, I don't know, it was a lineup of about 12 or 13 big combines. Big combines. And I see that picture of all of us together being huge combines that are all reaping in the harvest for this ministry. And we as a ministry are helping you reap in the harvest for yourself. We're helping each other in this. We're being there for one another. And so he said, switch your mind from the Lord of the seed. The moment you sow that seed, you switch your mind. And I'll add this in here. I don't have much time to talk about that, but talking about the time of acceleration that we are in. And some of you didn't hear me talk about this, but I was talking that the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of this year and said, you'll get more done in 1 year than you have in 20 years. We're getting 20 days out of every 1 day, 480 hours out of a 24-hour period. That's the acceleration. We are expediting. It's expediting. We are walking in the realm of the immediate. We're walking in the realm of Amos 9:13. The harvester and the sower side by side. And you have to envision and see this. And this is what I've been doing lately, believing God for this. He wants us to dominate time. He wants us to dominate time and to see yourself sowing a seed and see that seed go into the ground and see that harvest pop right up. And coming to a place and a time where you take the seed, because God is looking at the heart, and it'll come to a place where you take the seed and before it hits the ground, the harvest comes up from the seed. Hallelujah! Woo! Brother Robert said, get into steady expectation that, as he says in Luke 10:2, the harvest is plenteous. And I wrote down there, my harvest is plenteous. Say that 3 times. Say it again. Say it again. My harvest is plenteous. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. In this teaching of Brother Keith's, he talks about these rules of reaping. And I wanted to quickly give you these that you can meditate, think about them, and then go to his series. Or you can get the series that Glory and I have done on how to reap your harvest. I just copied what Keith did, that's all. That's about all I do is copy Kenneth and copy Gloria and copy Keith. And that's okay. That's okay. That's what we should do. In Mark 4:26, it says this. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The rule number one that Brother Keith teaches about is this. Reaping is not automatic. It's not automatic. In the same way that a farmer doesn't sit around at harvest time and what Keith says, expect his crops to jump from the field to the barn. That doesn't happen. We must realize that reaping is something that we do. And before we finish here shortly, I'll teach you how to do it. We're going to learn how to do this. And there are a couple of scriptures about this. And just write this down. Proverbs 6:6-8 in the message. Proverbs 6:6-8. It says, you lazy fool. Not you, but you lazy fool. Look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest it stockpiles provisions. So we learn from that. And then Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. So we are the reapers. Say, we are the reapers. And here we're seeing that in this Mark 4:26, the man is the one who sows, God is the one who gives the increase, and man is the one who reaps the harvest. Now that's rule number one. Reaping is not automatic. Rule number two, reaping is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. As I just said to you, who did the sowing? The farmer. Who did the growing? God did. Who reaped the harvest? The farmer. And I like what Gloria said on one of our broadcasts. She said, you need to be a sower and a mower. Gloriaism. You need to be a... Do you understand what I'm saying? Mower? Okay, just wondering. You need to be a sower and a mower. Number three, reaping requires faith. Reaping requires faith. It says in Galatians 6:9 in the Message translation, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. And Gloria said this on a broadcast. She said, she didn't say it on a broadcast. She called me one day. It was towards the end of last year. She called me. She started talking to me about a seed that someone had sown into the ministry. And it wasn't a financial seed, but it was something else, but it was precious. It was precious. And Gloria got so excited about this, and I'm sitting there with my pad and pencil and writing this down. She said, George, don't ever give up on your seed. Don't ever give up on your seed. And I want you to take that. I want you to receive that. Don't ever give up on your seed. If you've been one of those that have gotten discouraged, and you've said to yourself, I've given and I've given and I've given, and I haven't gotten anything in return, you get back up on your faith again. That seed is still out there. Don't ever give up on a seed. And she was relating it to like things that she'd sown a long time ago. And it seemed like that seed had just kind of disappeared and dissipated. But it didn't. It didn't. And that got me thinking. I sat there after I got off the phone with her and just started thinking about it again and again and again. God never, don't ever give up on a seed. And this is what came to me. God never forgets a seed, and neither should we. God never forgets a seed. He remembers every seed. If you were alive in 1986, and I won't show for a show of hands, but anyway, if you were alive in 1986, He knows every seed that you sowed. Every seed. Every year, every seed. He knows every seed that you've ever sown. And I found two scriptures that bear this out. In Psalm 20, verse 3 in the New Living, it says, may He remember all your gifts. He remembers every seed that you've sown. And then Acts 10:4, concerning Cornelius, it says, and he, gazing intently at Cornelius, Cornelius became frightened and says, what is it, Lord? And the angel said to me, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by Him. So I just want you to think for just a moment. God has remembered every seed that you have ever sown. And it's out there, it's in the field, and it's time to call it in. It's time to call in that harvest. And Gloria and I, we were on a broadcast one time, and we came up a George and Gloriaism. First time we'd ever did a combine. But this is what we said. You can't quit sowing. You can't quit saying. You can't quit believing. You can't quit harvesting. This is the cycle of abundance. Would you like me to read it again? Do you want to write it down? Okay. First of all, it says you can't quit sowing. See, people give up. They give up on their sowing. They don't see the harvest. They're not calling it in. They're not using their faith. And they give up on it. You cannot quit sowing. The second phrase was, you cannot quit saying. You cannot quit declaring the Lord over your seed. That's called miracle grow. That's what you do. And I'll put a quote in here. I'm putting a quote within quote. A quote from Jerry Savelle. The depth of your praise determines the magnitude of your harvest. You can determine the magnitude of your harvest. Just how you take care of that seed as it is growing, as you speak over it. I remember one time we had Charles Capps that came to our church many years ago. And he was talking about the fact that how silly it would be for a farmer to go out into the field, plant that seed, go back, go to bed, get up the next morning, come and stand over it and say, well, I guess that's not working, and get down there and dig that seed back up. That's what so many people say. You need to take this out of your vocabulary. It's not working for me. Get rid of it. Stop saying it. Don't ever say it again. No, instead you need to say, it's working for me all the time. It's working for me all the time. It's working for me all the time. So you can't quit sowing. You can't quit saying. You can't quit believing. As the CEO and pastor of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I cannot afford to take a faith vacation. I have to be on high alert all the time, high faith alert all the time. But it's not laborious. It's actually joyous. It's a thrill, because when you get into the momentum of faith and you begin to see one blessing after another, after another, after another, and we just have a game with each other out there. I'll call Brother Copeland and say, look at this. This check came into this huge check came in. He'll call me and say, I just opened an envelope. A big check just came in. And it's happening not just once in a while. We are expecting it all the time. All the time. Say, that happens to me all the time. We expect it all the time. See, that's where this time, the time that we are in right now, we have been short-sighted in seeing the supernatural realm. The supernatural realm is a constant state of sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping. It's Amos 9:13. It is continual. It is nonstop. I'm telling you, as I stand here right now in Anaheim, California, there's lots of money coming in at Fort Worth, Texas. Lots of money coming in. And I told the staff the other day, I want more money. I want more money. And you might look at me and go, what a selfish thing he is. No, no, we've got a lot to do. There's a lot of people to reach. There's a lot of television to get on. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of things to get the word out there. It takes money to get the word out there. So I unashamedly and unabashedly say, I want more money. There. When I became the executive director of the ministry, and write this scripture down, Genesis 41:46. Genesis 41:46-49. When I became the executive director again, the Lord gave me an assignment. And he told me to do a field inspection. A field inspection. What is a field inspection? I'm going to recommend that you do a field inspection. What is that? The field inspection identifies where you have sown seed, where seed has gone out. So I began my field inspection, and let me read this to you first. This is from the New Living Translation, just to kind of get the context of it. Joseph was 30 years old. This is Genesis 41:46. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. When Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. Well, Pastor George has been inspecting the entire land of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, EMIC. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. Say, bumper crop. See, that's what we're looking for. I get bumper crop all the time. How about you? Hundredfold. You'd be a little bit more excited about that one. Let's try take two. I get bumper crop all the time. How about you? Okay, print. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grain like sand on the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was too much to measure. He had to stop keeping records. I'm looking for the day, guys. I'm looking for the day when at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, EMIC, we have to stop keeping records because it's too much, too much, too much. So I've been doing field inspection. And let me just give you information about what I found out in my field inspection. I'm looking for everything that I can connect to harvest. First of all, we have since 1982, when we were $1 million behind, Brother Copeland went to the prayer cabin in Arkansas. And he was going up there to spend time to pray and to get wisdom from the Lord about this $1 million situation, this deficit that we were in. Lord, I need $1 million. Lord, I need $1 million. And the answer that the Lord got was, you need to tithe 10%. You need to give 10%. And I remember when he came home from that trip and he heard from the Lord and he announced to the staff, we are going to take 10% out of every dollar that comes into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it's going right back out again to win the lost. It's going into ministries all over the world that preach the gospel. And so that's what the Lord spoke to him and told him to do back then. So immediately I went to what we call the benevolence fund, or the 10%. 10% of all of the finances that come in goes right back out. So I looked at that field. I did a field inspection of that. That's very important to me. It's extremely important to me. It is the lifeblood of this ministry. It isn't sitting with a marketing team and saying, how much money can we get out of these people? No, we don't do that. We don't do that. As I shared with you when Brother Copeland, how many were here with Brother Copeland this morning? And you heard me tell about Doug Neese and what I did, and he sent me over to Kenneth's house and made me take that letter, that appeal letter, and take it before Kenneth. And Kenneth looked at it and looked at me like the spirit of compromise and said, don't find ways to get the money in. You find ways to get the word out and the money will come in. Well, I went back to the office. I didn't finish that story. I went back to the office and I went there into my boss's office, Doug, and I sat there across from his desk, and he sat back in his chair and said, well, what did Kenneth say about that letter? I said, and I told my boss, I said, don't seek ways to get the money in. You seek ways to get the word out and the money will come in. And that's how we've lived. So that is the lifeblood of the ministry. That's the lifeblood of the ministry. So I started looking at these different areas. I looked at our disaster relief, the disaster relief. And you know something? Overnight, our disaster relief has multiplied. You'll hear a report about that this evening. But we are reaching out in ways, and we are expediting and increasing that whole area of ministry. The international ministries that we do. International ministries, when we go into Latin America, we pay for it. We pay for that. And whatever offerings are received there, they stay right there. Whatever offerings are received in the United Kingdom, they stay right there. In Australia, they stay right there. Wherever Brother Copeland goes around the world, those offerings stay right there to preach the gospel in that country. We're not trying to figure out ways to get money out of those places. We're trying to figure out ways to get the word to the people in those places. And all of these international meetings, he was just in Bogota, preaching in Bogota. He'll be going to Venezuela. All of it is seed. I say, harvest! Harvest! And I have an executive team that is totally and 100% on board with that. We're not sitting around figuring out how to get Brother Copeland to bring money back home with him. You got to get on board with the prophet. You either get on board or get out. I'm a pastor and a sweet man, but if you're on my team and you're not with Brother Copeland, you're out. You're out. I cannot have you around me. I got to have all the faith that I can have around me. So the international meetings, and then let's talk about the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. When the believer... Yeah, give God praise for that network. Whoa! The wonderful thing about that is we don't have the headache or the nightmare of trying to figure out how much to charge people to be on that network. We're not having to keep up with accounting, have to have a big accounting thing to keep up with all of that, because the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, sow that time into these people. So I took that as a field. And I figured up how much that time would be worth. Plus the fact, all of the production and everything that goes into that, I figured up how much time that was worth. And I called it seed and harvest. Seed and harvest. Do you remember when Brother Copeland made the announcement that all of the product that we offer on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is now going to be free? Do you remember that? Do you appreciate that? I saw the footage of it. And the footage of it, because they called me from TV right away. Pastor George, you need to hear what Brother Copeland just said. He's sitting there in between broadcasts. And he's sitting there and he's saying, yeah. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. From this moment forth, we will never sell another product on this broadcast. We will sow it. I was so excited about that. I was so thrilled. So thrilled. Seed being sown. Harvest coming back. Everything that goes out for the prison ministry. Everything that goes out to the military ministry. And everything where airplanes are concerned. Let me talk to you about airplanes for just a moment. Brother Copeland loves airplanes. You should have seen him at the board meeting the other day. When it came up to the slide of the Gulfstream 5, I looked down there at him and he went, "Oh, now we're talking." I mean, that big smile on his face. "Let's talk airplanes." I mean, he's got faith for it. So we started talking about that, but I presented to the board, and I'm presenting to the shareholders this what I've done. It's taken some time to do this. To compile all of the airplanes that have been sown from this ministry into other ministries since its inception. And we've had a little bit of information here and a little bit of information there. And I've done interviews with Brother Copeland before. But just a few weeks ago, he was looking through one of his big notebooks. And he has all of his notes in it, notes over the years. I mean, it's dog-eared and all that. And he sent me two pictures on my phone. And he said, "George, look what I found." And it was a list that he made, that he started some years ago, of all of the airplanes and their worth, how much they were worth. And he listed that. So we took all of that, combined it with the information that we have, and this just came out 2 days ago. This is the very first comprehensive list of all of the aircraft that have been sown and all of the aircraft that we've sown money into. I am holding in my hand harvest! And I'll just read this to you. Since 1967, 25 airplanes have been sown from this ministry. The worth being 13, and these are all figures from that time. So you can really enlarge this total. $13,540,000 worth of airplanes have been sown from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You're part of that. 11 cash seeds have been sown into other ministries, $3,680,000 for a total of $17,220,000 over the 50 years worth of airplanes going out into other ministries. You better believe I'm calling in the harvest. You better believe I'm calling it in the harvest. Jimmy Swaggart, Richard Roberts, Oral Roberts, Paul Crouch, Jim Zirkel, Matt Gober, Billy Brim, Jesse Duplantis, Happy Caldwell, Jerry Savelle, Kenneth Hagan, Joe Hurston, David Bloom, Pat Robertson, Rod Parsley, Dennis Burke, Marcus Bishop, Jim Caseman, Scott Webb, Mac Hammond, David Barton, Pearson's Ministries International, Billy Brim, and then just 2 days ago, or several days ago, how many of you know Tracy Harris? Tracy Harris, wonderful man of God. Well, his aircraft, he wasn't in it when it landed, but his aircraft landed and the gear just folded, ruined the airplane. And the Lord woke up Brother Copeland. I love this. The Lord woke up Brother Copeland just a couple of days ago. And he woke up and we have a small airplane called a Baron. And the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland and said, "Give that Baron to Tracy Harris." So he immediately called Tracy. And Tracy, and this is the ironic point about it. Tracy was at the airport. I'm not sure what airport he was. Maybe DFW. I'm not sure. He was at an airport. And his flight was delayed to such a degree that he was unable to make the preaching engagement that he was supposed to go to. That's what he was right in the middle of when Brother Copeland calls him on the phone and said, "The Lord told me to give you that airplane." Tracy Harris broke down and cried like a baby when he got that. That's you sowing that seed. That's you sowing that seed. So I went through all of that harvest. And I did that for last year. I looked at all of last year. Started with last year. And that comes to a total of over $17 million of seed that was sown. You better believe we got harvest out there. You better believe that we all have harvest together. Because as a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you partake of that. You partake of that. So $17 million, and then we did a year to date. And so far this year, it's up to $10 million. So that's a lot of seed in the ground. And that's a lot of harvest for us to reap. Let me give you one more scripture, and then we're going to call in the harvest. Turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. The Lord said, get aggressive. Get aggressive. And I believe whatever he says to us, he's saying to you. Because you're a faithful partner with this ministry. You are connected with this ministry. And he says to us, get your house in order. You get your house in order. He says to us that we're going to get more done in one day, one year, than we have in 20 years. That's for you. Amen. That's for you. I forgot to tell you about this. I think I mentioned it somewhere at some point. I've told it so much. But the Gulf Stream. We are in a time frame right now in this ministry. Things are going faster than they've ever gone before. Now, see, when I say something like that, you need to say to yourself and say this after me, things are going faster for me. Because I'm a partner with Kenneth Copeland. And I'm a partaker of his anointing. I'm a partaker of his grace. So things are going so fast. And I did a study over the years of how long it's taken for each major step that we've had. Kenneth and Gloria started in 1967. In 1979, we went on weekly television. In 1989, 10 years, we went on daily television. I believe it was 1998 or 99 that the Lord spoke to Kenneth and Gloria about believing for a citation 10. It took 10 years, about 10 years, a little less than 10 years to believe for that. I believe that we've broken the 10-year cycle. We've broken the 10-year cycle. Now, when I say something like that, you say, you've broken the 10-year cycle. Because we're retaking time. We're retaking time. We are becoming like Jesus, who, when he turned water into wine, he jumped all of the steps of planting the seed, growing the grapes, mashing them, fermenting, whatever it took. He completely, supernaturally jumped the time frame. When they were crossing the Galilee, it's 9 miles across the Galilee. When the disciples were crossing the Galilee by themselves and they were rowing, they got about 3 miles out there and ran into a storm. We're going to perish. We're going to die. Jesus walks out there and gets in the boat. You got to get Jesus to get in your boat. Because when you get Jesus to get in your boat, you're going to go so much faster. What happened was it says immediately they were on the other side. 6 miles, traveling at the speed of light himself. And that's what we're doing right now. We are traveling at the speed of light. So it's taken 10 years for this and 10 years for that. Well, I'm telling you, no longer 20. What took 20 years? Oh, will happen in this year. The Portuguese outreach was born in a prayer meeting that Terry had some weeks ago. She was praying over, all of a sudden, from her spirit, she starts praying over the Portugal and Portuguese language, the Portuguese language. And it just so happened that some of the people that were in her prayer meeting were for Portuguese. And they came to her afterwards. And we brought the executive team together. And within 24 hours, the Portuguese outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries was born. And that was right before the Southwest Believers Convention. And we were preaching in Portuguese at the Southwest Believers Convention all over the world. So no, we're not putting up with this 10-year business anymore. It's over. It's over. It's over. Restoration, supernatural restoration of relationships. It's not going to take long anymore. That's over. It's over. And it was in February of this year that the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland about getting a Gulfstream 5. We have to have multiple aircraft. We've got to get aircraft that's going to go internationally in all different directions. I'm traveling. Terry's traveling. Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, they're traveling. And he even said this. He said this. I'm trying to remember what meeting it was. I think it was either, because I've been going on all the meetings and I'm like him. I'm not quite sure where we've been or what we said. But he did say that he's believing God for a time when even our staff will travel on private aircraft and they will not have to use the airline system any longer. I'm looking for a time when we are going to take people to Israel or take people on missions trips with us and we all load up in the plane and go. Come on now, come on. This thing is speeding up. It's speeding up because we are in the last of the last of the last days and we got a lot to do. So what holds us back? What holds us back? What tells us that it's going to take such and such a time for this? What tells us that a harvest has to be a normal season of some kind? No, the Lord is looking to us. He said, if you will use your faith to expedite things, they will be going faster. If you use your faith for the acceleration of things in your life, they will go a whole lot faster. And I saw it. I saw it. Brother Copeland got a word from the Lord, believe for a Gulfstream 5. That was in February. We have a Gulfstream that is in pre-buy right now. What is pre-buy? They're inspecting it, making sure everything is working. And if something is not working the way it should, the previous owner pays for that. But it's in pre-buy right now. Pre-buy right now. And the money is in the bank. Actually, there's more money to pay for that airplane in the bank. Come on, that's exciting. Money in the bank. Money in the bank. Like Pastor Like Pew, whatever happens to me, it happens to you. Whatever happens at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, if you're a partner with this ministry, it's happening to you. It's happening to you. And of course, there are things we're believing for. We're believing for it. We've got to have a hangar for it. I mean, right now, we can squeeze it in with a Citation 10, but like Kenneth said, you're going to have to suck your gut in. You're going to have two guys on either end of that plane to make sure that the wings do not scrape because it's that close. So we're believing God. We're believing God. But you know, we do have a master plan company that is working on LaGuardia Airport right now. So hey, the wisdom of God is flowing like a river. And did I tell you this, that it belongs to Tyler Perry? How about that? How about that? That is Tyler Perry's airplane that we just bought. And there is a magnificent relationship. I am watching it. I'm seeing it develop between Kenneth Copeland and Tyler Perry. And I mean, they are texting each other and sending each other emoticons. And I mean, it's really funny. George, look at this. Look at this. But that's all part of the plan. That's all part of the plan. Okay, now it's time to call it in. In Isaiah 41:15, it says, "Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth." The Hebrew here where it says teeth is mouths. You reap your harvest with the words of your mouth. That's how you do it. You shall thresh the mountains, beat them small, and you shall make the hills as chaff. Our words are the threshing instrument with which we reap our harvest. Our words cut down the crops and bring in the harvest. And we command it with our faith, just like we do everything else. Like Brother Copeland has said, words are the most important things on this earth. And your words, I like what Keith Moore has taught about words. He said, your words of faith, they're like a tractor beam. A tractor beam that will reach out into the realm of the spirit and pull it back into the realm of the natural. See, when Brother Copeland got a word about that G5, we began to exercise our faith. All together, we exercised our faith. We're calling in that G5. G5, you come to us. Come on. Come on. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on. Come on to us. You come in Jesus' name. And what was happening all the time, our faith were going out like a tractor beam. And they latched on to that Gulfstream 5, and it pulled it in and in and in until that thing manifested. And all the while, we're giving God praise for it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Praise God for it. So you have to realize how important, and this is what you have to watch out for. You start this kind of thing and you say, I'm calling in my harvest. I'm calling in my harvest. And that tractor beam reaches out there and it's pulling it in. That combine is out there pulling it in. All of a sudden, you don't see it. You don't see it. And you start saying, I guess it's not working. I guess it's not working. It's not working for me. It's not, I'll get back up on my faith. I'll get back up on my faith. It'll go back and forth. Why don't you just stick with it? Why don't you just stay with it? So here's what you're going to do. I want you to stand up right now. Stand up right now. I am so grateful and thankful for every partner that has sown into this ministry. Your gifts, no matter how large or small they are a major blessing to the work of this ministry. We pray over you. Over the years, prayer had slipped. We brought it back. And now we have people praying continually over you, praying over the partners. I was with Brother Copeland on the flight coming out here, sat next to me. And as we got ready to take off, he lifted his hands and he touched the ceiling of that aircraft and he began to pray over the flight. And he prayed over our pilots and he prayed over and he declared any evil spirit or even evil thing that would try to hurt us. And then he began to pray for you. Father, I pray for my partners in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they prosper. I thank you that they're protected, they're healthy, they're strong. And we've taken you into our hearts. In the same way where the Apostle Paul was concerned, he said, I have you in my heart. I have you in my heart. You are in the heart of this ministry. And we want to see you prosper into the realm of exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that you could dare ask or think according to the power of God's word that is working on the inside of you. So you've given, you gave today, you've given last week, last year, year before. I mean, we may have some partners in here who are 40 years strong. Any partner, 40 years with Kenneth Copeland, hands going up everywhere. Faithful partners. Well, this is what we want to do. We're going to call in the harvest right now. We're going to call in harvest right now. And this is going to begin a journey with you where you are going to, we're going to walk hand in hand on this. Because you just continue to hear that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is going up and up and up. And we are traveling at light speed. So are you. So are you. Bills are being paid off supernaturally right now. Debts. Are being wiped out in the name of Jesus. We serve a generous God who loves his people and loves to see every need met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to put your hand over your heart right now. I want you to say this with all the faith in your heart. Say this in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We are good sowers.
We are getting real good
at reaping.
I'm getting aggressive
with the words of my mouth.
My words
are the combines
that are bringing in the harvest.
I have an army of combines. In the words of my mouth, my angels are there to help me. Harvesting angels. Go get my harvest. Bring it to me right now. I command my harvest to come to me. I receive the hundredfold return. The harvest of my seed has swallowed all my need. I believe it. I receive it. I declare it so. I am aggressive about reaping my harvest. Now let's give God praise for that right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, give him a shout of praise.